Today's episode of the Teamwork Online webinar series is presented by ScreenSkins, the number one branded screen protector. Appreciate their support of the podcast, and they allow you to personalize your screen protector with custom or officially licensed designs that disappear. Get yours today by visiting screenskins.com and use the code LIFO24 at checkout for 20% off today. Again, the code LIFO24, LIFO24 at checkout for 20%. Enjoy today's episode. This is the Life in the Front Office Plus, where we dive deeper into personal and professional development, share nuggets and highlights from previous episodes, and bring you new content to provide insights and perspectives beyond the front office. Enjoy today's episode. Well, look, I have all three of you on because not only are you awesome at what you do in the industry, but also just the networking component and keeping up with people constantly. Learning from others and getting to know others across different verticals of the industry. So I want to start with a question of just how have you gone about networking as a whole since you've gotten into the industry? We'll get to kind of, you know, how did you use it when you were trying to get the job to get into the industry? But since you've gotten into the industry and you've gone about your career journey, What's your philosophy? What's your perspective been on networking? Corey, we'll start with you, and then Allie, and then Jackson.
Yeah, I think once the hard part, the proverbial, like, how now I'm in sports, what do I do, right? I view it as kind of a dual approach, one of internal networking. So I think the biggest ROI for those who initially started in their career is actually building relationships internally within your own organization, not only with your immediate team and your supervisor, but I think the adjacent and surrounding business departments. And that serves twofold. One, obviously, you build your network, you build relationships, but I think two, you have a better understanding of how the business operates, and then you can place yourselves in their shoes to make relationships work to your advantage and to the business's advantage. I think secondarily, the external part, you know, Allie and I go back, I don't even want to count the years.
I was going to say, don't dating, tell people
yeah,
that.
Yeah, dating myself. Jake and I, the same in my previous life at MILB and just through camaraderie. So I think externally, it's really how do you position yourself as kind of a sports business leader that's very intentional about why you're reaching out to someone, and just being genuinely curious about why the intent is behind there to make an effort. I think more times than not, a lot of professionals will spend the time and willing to invest. I think it's really your responsibility to come prepared and follow up and provide value in those relationships. So I think tactically what I've done is, you know, every Tuesday and Wednesday, I still do it. I try to connect with two new people, volunteer with groups, seeking sports and non-sports relationships and connections, I think is important. And then, you know, just organically on social media, whether it be podcasts, articles, and never thought I would say this, but for example, Kim Kardashian and Skims in the NBA, right? You reach out to someone at the NBA, I'm very curious on how this partnership came to be. What's the value? What's the process to actually get it? You can reach out to someone at Skims.
I've got the answers for you. I already did the networking.
There you go. But just organic things like that, that just spark your curiosity, because that genuine intent, I think will likely surface when it's there.
Yeah.
Allie?
Piggybacking off of that, you could not have hit the nail on the head more about networking internally. One thing I will say is I've transitioned to a few agencies, and I would say the pitfall of working remote, especially during COVID and things like that, it was really hard to connect with just even your colleagues, right? And meeting them in person. So when I joined Wasserman, I made it a point to go to every office once a quarter at minimum. I'm going to almost every football game right now to meet with clients because I have a whole new client roster this year. And I am also making sure that I am kind of expanding that net, I guess, outside of just who I'm working with on a team-wise basis. We have a huge consulting division that I actually do a lot of work with on behalf of our clients who rep nationwide, Microsoft, obviously both NFL clients. We actually have the Skims partnership now at Wasserman is too. So I was chatting with our group internally just yesterday on what that looks like, how did it come to fruition, what are they looking like over for the next 6 to 12 months minimum, right? So that's been a huge thing. But externally too, and I think everyone has a little bit of a different approach. I network for a living. I'm in sales. That's how I get my money. And that's how I get money for my clients and my team. So I am very intentional. Anytime I reach out, there has to be a purpose for it, right? So I always make sure I'm not just sending a cold copy and paste email, which, by the way, guys, it is very easy to spot that a mile away. So making sure you try to do your homework, curate it. Even if it's like, hey, I saw, you know, you have this client and they had a huge game. Congrats. Can I grab 15 minutes? That's just that little bit makes such a big difference. And I say that to be, I'm sending 25 to 50 intro emails a week. I used to do it a lot more. I now don't have the capacity or bandwidth, but I try to still do that as much as I can. And one little nugget that always stuck with me that I don't know if everyone will agree with it, but some people cast a really wide net and try to keep in touch with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. And I, bravo, people who can do that. I don't have the time or the bandwidth to do it. So I am very intentional about if I connect with someone, even if they can't maybe help me right now, if I really vibe with them, I'm like, that's someone I want to check in with regularly. And I have a very curated list of contacts over the years that I've basically just said, wow, these people are just someone I really vibe with. We're on the same page. We have the same ambitions, whatever it may be, that I really now consider a lot of them very close friends personally as well. And I think the day that you can call 50 contacts and ask for something is the day you're like doing very, very well. So, you know, don't be afraid either. That's the big thing. Like everyone's cold calling, everyone's cold emailing. Just make sure you personalize it.
Allie, I have so many questions to follow up on all that, but we'll get to Jackson here first. Because Jackson's also got a unique background where he was on the player side first and then now on the business and media side. So he's been in two different, entirely different verticals of the industry as well and building networks there.
Yeah. And, you know, I echo a lot of what, you know, Corey and I have already said. You know, I try to keep it simple. I had a great mentor once use an analogy with me that really stuck. And it's kind of looking at relationships in correlation to plants. And I know that sounds kind of funny, but when you simplify it like that, it makes a lot of sense. And he said that, you know, if you water a plant too much, what happens to the plant? It dies, right? If you water that same plant too little, what happens to the plant? It dies. And if you water that plant just the right amount, it has the opportunity to flourish and grow. And I think that's the approach that I take with my relationships across the industry. Similarly to Allie, like I think, you know, leveraging and utilizing the locations and spaces that you're in is really important. If you're traveling for business or for pleasure and happen to find yourself in a place or a space that you either know someone that's there or, you know, or eager to learn more about a business. I always think that, you know, in today's day and age, the opportunity to meet face to face in real life is kind of can become a competitive advantage of sorts, especially in a day that's super virtual. And, you know, a lot of time spent on emails, getting out in front of people. And I think those things happen in person too, right? Like you think about, you know, kind of the bigger events. I think every week has something different. You know, NBA might be NBA Summer League. For MLB, it's obviously the winter meetings, so on and so forth. But I think those 10-pole moments, key events, things like that, where you can get face-to-face with people is super important. And then ultimately, you know, I think both Allie and Corey, you know, spoke on this, but, you know, finding the reasons. I think if you're somebody who's in operations and might not be so external facing as the role that I'm in now or Allie in marketing or Corey, you know, with what you're doing, I think it's really important, as Corey alluded to try to network cross functionally within, you know, your org. And a lot of times I think people forget that, that, you know, their colleagues might have a completely different past life than the role that they're in currently. And that network is extremely strong in another area or space. So I think to me that that's, those are the things that, you know, to continue networking are super vital. And then I think honestly, like, you know, being able to be vulnerable and put yourself out there is super, super important. I don't care. It doesn't matter, or I don't care what space or place you're at in your life. I think, you know, Corey, you know, mentioned Skims, and now I mean, like, if there's things you have interest in or intrigued about, you know, finding people that, that you can, you know, reach out to and make that effort with. And I also, my next and my only other tagline is professional persistence. I think there's just this misnomer that, you know, you reach out one time, somebody doesn't respond, and you're like, well, I tried. You know, I think one of the things that has, you know, loaded really well for me in my career is just staying persistent. You know, if they don't respond the first time, follow up the second time. You know, the third time, you know, you might have to reconfirm a meeting or, you know, have to reschedule, and just staying consistent with it and persistent with it, I think is ultimately, you know, a huge key to networking.
Yeah. Jackson, you hit the nail on the head with that one. I knew I was reaching out to the right person. They didn't respond for 7 emails. I sent an email every day for every Monday for 7 weeks until they responded. I think it was just because I annoyed them so much.
All right. I got a question for all of you, and Jackson, we'll start with you. As you go into, whether it's different spaces around the industry, or you start to move up into different positions, different levels, how do you go about networking up, down, and across in all different directions? Because at some point you're going to have to hire somebody, right? And so you're going to need to know people that are not only above you or beside you, but also below you. So how do the three of you go about that process?
Yeah, I mean, I would say to that point, you know, I've really benefited from internships throughout my career. And I know how transformative they've been for me to be able to build relationships. And I think it's the one moment in your career where you have the opportunity to be bouncing around quite frequently. And so now that I'm in a role where, you know, we have intern classes and they're coming, I've spent a lot of time investing in building those relationships with our interns. And I think they're going back to college campuses. Not only do I want them to have a good experience talking about our company when they go back to school, but ultimately I think for them, as they continue to matriculate throughout their careers, knowing how beneficial those relationships have been during my tenure in those kind of roles, I'm trying to give that back and ultimately help build, you know, a real, you know, for lack of a better term, roster of candidates and people that I just think are great. And then in terms of up, I would say, you know, the biggest thing is, you know, at this juncture in career and time, like, you'll find yourself in rooms with people who are, you know, twice your tenure or, you know, have been around the block in a number of different capacities and roles. And I think those are the opportunities to take time, once those meetings are done or, you know, business is done, to continue to build and transform those relationships, into meaningful and thoughtful relationships that you can parlay and leverage into other facets of your life and career. But I would say for up and down, it's really leveraging on, you know, the spaces that you're occupying and knowing who's in those rooms. I think, like Ali said, with researching, you know, people before you reach out to them cold. I also do a lot of due diligence prior to meeting with someone, especially external facing, on where they've been, what they've done. So I'm not just hopping on, you know, some calls and don't know kind of their career path or trajectory or things of that nature as well.
I would feign dumb, but I'm like, oh my God, do you know blah, blah, blah? And of course I know they know them, but I'm like, oh wait, what a small world.
Yeah, I would say internships is a great one. Myself, I also teach at USF down here. And so not only am I learning from them selfishly, I'm also identifying some of the rising stars that would be great for us here. But if that is not in the cards, you know, how do I extend my network to Ali and Jackson's point of providing value? If I see a job opportunity and it might fit the bill for someone in my class, you know, that's a win-win-win in that case. And then also, there's also a lot of opportunities for mentoring, you know, whether it's a formal one of like a scene or, you know, ad week or game changers. There's opportunities, you know, Uninterrupted, I think, might have something like that too. So volunteering and doing those is also a great way to do that. I would say from the executive standpoint, you know, not going too meta on this, but I think it also boils down to the types of roles and jobs and cultures that you're going into, because I can tell you my previous boss, I was very intentional about going there because they had a reputation, which was a good one. But one of the beneficial things they did is actually intentionally extend their network to me. And so they got me in rooms where, you know, I might've been the youngest, I might have been the less tenured, but it was a very thoughtful gesture. And then it was on me, the onus was on me to actually capitalize on that. And so when you're looking for roles, when you keep going to different places, you know, it's pay, it's title, it's all of these things, but it's also looking at the people that are going to open up new doors for you. And then, you know, like I said, it's on you to kind of maximize that opportunity.
Thanks for listening to today's episode on the Life in the Front Office Plus. And remember to share with a friend or colleague, leave a review, and tune in to each weekly or monthly episode across our shows.